Let's F this B-hole.
Welcome to the Loud Sports Podcast, and we got another special edition show for you this week. I'm Paul Rubidoux with Jake Williams sitting in the middle here.
I was rubbing my face in excitement, not exhaustion.
He's not tired.
And Brandon Plecker on the end.
What's up?
I had three cups of coffee for this. I hope you're ready.
So,
freaking jazz, man!
All right, so we did a lot of NFL talk last week, so this week we're going to start it out and have a lot of NBA talk. We're recording live during the first round of the draft to bring you as realistic and up to the second reactions as we can. First up, let's recap this. So we're currently through the top seven picks. We have Anthony Edwards to the Timberwolves. Golden State Warriors select James Wiseman at number two. Charlotte Hornets take LaMelo Ball at three. Chicago Bulls take Patrick Williams at number four. Number five, Cleveland selects Isaac Okoro. They failed to trade out of that pick, apparently. Atlanta Hawks take Okongwu.
Okongwu?
Okongwu. Detroit Pistons, number seven, Killian Hayes.
That's not even the best name.
From France via Gonzaga.
That's not the best name. Obi Toppin is the best
Ain't
name.
Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin.
All right. So just first reactions to some of these. Let's start at the top. Brandon, what do you think? Minnesota Timberwolves taking Anthony Edwards.
I think it seemed like the obvious pick to me, I guess, considering.
It kind of has to be, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you could have talked me into LaMelo Ball to Minnesota. I don't think James Wiseman would have made a lot of sense with Cat, but
he was quoted saying, "I've had no contact with the
team." I don't think he ever even worked out for him ever.
Correct.
But I would have had no problem with LaMelo Ball going there. You know, you can see, you know, teams with 2-point guards, it can make a lot of things happen.
Apparently, Shams just tweeted, the New York Knicks are reportedly very excited that Obi Toppin is falling to them and they're prepared to take him next. Obi Toppin in New York.
With James Harden, because you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, he might end up in the big city, but not somewhere else.
Did I leave that? I didn't. I changed it. That's an honorary. You hate to see it.
Oh, we'll have some of that on.
Because James Harden is comedy. You're going to go next?
I see from the Timberwolves here is I just, if it was me, I would have asked if Charlotte or Chicago was trying to trade up to number one and would have fallen back and just selected who fell to me at number three or four, because you're putting yourself in a position where you have to take the one guy that fits your needs.
Yeah.
When you could put yourself in a position where there's, you know, five or eight guys available that you can work with if you would have fallen back and gotten Patrick Williams, Isaac Okoro, or still even Edwards, who probably might have been there at number three.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he would drop to third. But
yeah, I'm a little worried about his projection. I see him kind of like a mix of Brandon Roy and Zion, with a thick body, big guard, explosivity. But can his body hold up with it?
See, I think it's just another. They get a retry at Andrew Wiggins with that team. You know, a lot of similarities.
Big
in those.
Retry needed there.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Wiggins, you know, all the talent in the world, didn't work out for whatever reason, one or another. You know, maybe it's a retry.
He didn't progress every year as was expected, I think, by all of us.
Anybody. I think we all. There was no question he should have been the number one pick that year.
Mm. Right.
And so
number two, Golden State Warriors take James Wiseman. This one is, I mean, another kind of no-brainer based on fit, unless they traded out of this for an established star.
Honestly, the top three, other than, I think LaMelo and Edwards could have flip-flopped either way at one and three, but I think there was no doubt that Wiseman was going to be number two for the Warriors because it makes the most sense. To touch on Edwards going instead of LaMelo, I thought it was going to be LaMelo because, let's be honest, the Timberwolves need a lot of help in general. So I think it could have gone either way. But, yeah, James Wiseman, it's kind of the boring one, isn't it? I mean, we all saw this happening. We all saw him going to Golden State. So it maybe isn't as exciting as the other ones.
So number three, Charlotte Hornets, LaMelo Ball. LaMelo and Lonzo Ball, first brothers to be selected top five.
Coincidence, after Jordan came out and said, I wouldn't mind having LaMelo at three. Coincidence? I think not.
Well, I think it kind of...
I think the Hornets are like, good call, Michael. We'll wait. We'll try and get him at three if we can.
I mean, you know, based on Fitz here, it kind of seems like he might have fallen to them if he didn't go number one. Because I just didn't see the Warriors being interested in what he could bring to the table based on what they already have. So now we get to see. LeVar Ball said he would beat Jordan one-on-one. I can't wait.
LeVar will.
Yeah, they're about the same age. I think they might be the same age.
Yeah, he'll be the idiot. Be like, my son will not sign...
Undefeated, never lost.
Until
this is
we
one of my favorite videos of all time.
Until we go one-on-one, my son will not sign with you.
The guy who could average, who averaged 2 points a game versus the guy.
Dude, it was like 2.3.
The GOAT.
Against, we don't even need to say his name again. 2.3 points a game.
At Eastern Washington, wasn't it?
In college,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even worse.
Hey, say what you want.
So he still got one up on Skip Bayless, who just got, when he got demolished by Jalen Rose for like, where'd you play, JV?
Hey,
it's that level.
Hey, you know, give him some credit because America's beautiful and you can fail upwards. He made millions of dollars off his kid's talent, so there's that.
Yeah, well, you know, he did it right, but
and we're talking about him during the draft. You know, what does that say?
You know who didn't do it right? The Chicago Bulls find a way to fire Gar Paxson and still screw it up.
You don't like the Williams pick?
I don't like the pick. I think that you're letting Obi Toppin just fall past you here, and I think he really would have fit a young, fast, run-the-floor team with Levine and Wendell Carter Jr. I think that would be a good trio.
But where would Toppin play? They still got Markkanen, who's probably their best player.
Then you put him in at forward, and he goes three. He starts out at your three. He's your wing. Because, you know, he can play wing, and that's what I love about him, is that he can move between forward spots so fluently in this NBA. So, you spell Wendell Carter, you move Markkanen to the five, and you move top into the four, and there's your big three rotation.
I would have liked Okoro. I agree with Patrick Williams, but I like Okoro.
They're both kind of the same here, where it's a guy where are they wings or are they post defenders, athletic guys here that we really missed out this season with no March Madness, no conference tournaments.
Well, in these top, you know, our top three picks, have you ever watched any of the three play?
Well, one of them played in Australia and the other one played three college games.
And the other one played in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like
for a losing record Georgia team.
Like none of these guys were ever in the national spotlight. Wiseman for a game.
Right.
Maybe.
The only one really is Obi Toppin, National Player of the Year, because otherwise, I mean, Killian Hayes, not a lot nationally. Even Tyrese Halliburton hurt his hand and missed half the year. So the top projected picks, we just didn't know a lot about this.
Yeah.
So it's kind
Thanks,
of
big, COVID.
It's going to be a crapshoot for a few years.
I will say this, because we're going to be coming up him in a little bit. Obi Toppin, I have an idea for you. Get in bed with one of these pizza places. Because it could be Obi Toppin's Toppins. Or
wow.
Obi's Toppins. Just saying.
Obi's Toppings.
There you go, Obi. First thing you do when you get in the NBA. That's what you do. You're welcome. That one's free.
That's a good one.
I just can't believe you're so upset with the Pat Williams pick. I'm not
upset with it. I just think that, once again, Chicago, you know, just isn't drafting.
Shat the bed, as they would say.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like at number 9 to the Washington Wizards, it's going to be Denny Avija. The Israeli player that plays for Spanish. No, he played for Maccabi Tel Aviv, I believe. But kind of projects as a good scoring forward here. Tall guy with length. People are high off of Doncic for the kind of offensive made-ready plug-in European player or foreign-born player. So we'll see how he does. In Washington, in a very dysfunctional situation. We'll probably talk about them a little more in the rumor section of our NBA coverage tonight. Washington's got a lot of things they got to figure out before they get any further. Back to draft coverage here. We have the Hawks taking Okongwu, which is definitely a better fit than some of these other picks so far.
A center?
What's that?
Ain't he a center?
Well, you know, you need somebody beside John Collins.
They got Clint Capella.
Well, I don't. Clint Capella can't do anything offensively, though. Not that Okongwu can really either right now. But I think that what they're going for is, I don't think anybody's really believed, from a GM perspective, who has believed in Clint Capella?
The Rockets did.
And then they just...
To make Russell Westbrook
snip,
happy.
Snip, snip, snip.
To make Russell Westbrook happy.
And look at what's going on with that now.
Exactly. It was the wrong move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it safe to say that the Rockets are dead as a franchise?
The Rockets, yeah, they need to figure out what to do. Well,
well, they got to restart.
Well, Morey dipped because he saw this coming.
D'Antoni's gone. Yeah. Morey's gone.
It's like what they were saying with the Cowboys in the NFL. You just got to strip it down to the foundation and start over, because Westbrook and all that's happened, and then Harden wanting to leave and
I think it was time. I think you saw that it was last ditch effort this year.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was win now.
See,
yeah.
To see what was gonna, you know, they tried something new, and you knew that it was coming close to the end.
Right, it's kind of like the final year of Lob City in Los Angeles, where you can tell, all right, it's time to go our separate ways.
You can just tell that this is as far as it's gonna go.
It happened with the Pacers when Paul George left. Yep. You know, it's just, well, you know,
they weren't good enough.
They couldn't get over the hump, and it's time to get picks. And that's what's happening here. But we'll bring you more draft picks as they come in. But Denny is the first Israeli-born player drafted into the NBA. Not the first Israeli to play in the NBA, but the first drafted.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, big moment. Big moment.
That's just something that you don't think about with these sports, is how international of appeal the NBA really is. And that's awesome. That's a cool thing.
Oh, yeah. The NBA is the global sport. Hmm. I say that over soccer because...
I was going to say, come on.
No, it really is, because when you put America into it, the power that America brings, I think it makes basketball more of a global sport, because we don't care about soccer.
You tell that to the MLS.
Yeah.
I can only name one team, and that's because they made a big deal when David Beckham went to the LA Galaxy. That's the only reason.
All right. While we're waiting on some more picks...
Portland Timbers.
The Timbers. Good job. Seattle Sound.
Sporting KC, sir.
Hey, yeah, that's a good one. Minnesota United. Now we're just naming soccer. That was
Omaha.
Soccer. That was our soccer segment.
Kicking it.
soccer teams.
Kicking it with Loud Sports.
Just naming soccer teams. All right. NBA trades and rumors. First off, the first big one that kind of kicked it off, the Bucks set up. Well, first, actually, the Suns set us off the day before trades were officially able to be consummated. The Suns get Chris Paul and Abdul Nader for Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, Jalen Lick, and a 2022 first-round pick. And, I mean, Suns won this. I mean, Sam Presti is doing nothing but grabbing picks for Oklahoma City all over the place. But I think the Suns are the winners here.
No, I like it. I like it.
I like it, too, because the hottest team in NBA history, the Bubble Suns, 8-0, with the progression of their younger guys like Ayton, along with Booker's just stellar play, you add Chris Paul, and this team seriously is going to be looking to be a 7 seed in the West, maybe 6.
Yeah, I think
might be the ceiling, though.
Well, I see. You know, when you can let Devin Booker not have to play point guard, I think that's going to be scary.
Yeah,
watching that guy can do anything on the court.
Right.
And now he doesn't have to play point guard anymore.
He does seem like a guy where it kind of frees him when he's not on the ball. Kind of a Klay Thompson-esque. I agree with that.
The guy can score with anybody.
Mm-hmm. So great move for not for the future, more of a win-now move by the Suns. But even if they don't win a championship with Chris Paul, the effect that he will have on their franchise, you could see he was in Phoenix shooting with Devin Booker the day after the trade. He's already there shooting with the players. That's the leadership that he brings.
Yeah, and I think that they're really going to take that momentum that they had, you know, in the bubble and carry that over. And I think that they could be... I honestly see them going deep in the playoffs. I think they're a team to watch for sure, especially going 8-0, which... Was it you, Brandon, who said you hate to see it, that they went undefeated in the bubble and couldn't get in the playoffs?
And the 2-6 Memphis Grizzlies made it.
Yeah, well, and then after that, the Bucks went wild trying to lock up the girlfriend long term is what they're trying to do. They're trying to show
Here's
commitment.
All this stuff.
They're trying to show commitment to Giannis, who still has not signed. I don't know if it's actually officially been offered to him, but he can this week sign a Supermax deal or wait till next offseason.
You know what this reminds me of with Giannis, this whole saga? This is, I see why people like the NBA so much, because it's so high school. What this reminds me of is The Office, when Andy and Aaron first start dating in that show, and And he just,
I hate the drama. Right.
And then, but then he won't sign, and then all these players get signed, and then he's just like,
you love the drama.
I do. I do. I love the drama. Like, that's what it feels like with Giannis. Is like, he's, I think he's secretly enjoying this and saying, like, you know, look at what all you're trying to do to get me, and
this
I won't sign.
This is only
going to
be better. It doesn't matter. He can. I would wait. If I was Giannis, I'd wait too. Yeah. I'd wait forever.
Well, it's
if they're gonna keep giving me stars,
it's
sure.
Not even
I'll
about.
Wait.
It's not even about that. The longer he waits, the more money he's gonna make.
Sure, sure.
It's the LeBron model, though, of acting like, you know, I'm committed today. I'm leaving the organization in the dark about my long term plans. I'm committed today, and then they make wrong moves, and you see the Cleveland Cavaliers are still trying to pick up the pieces from missing traded draft picks and bad contracts to people like Tristan Thompson after LeBron is 2-3 years gone. Mm-mm. So we'll see, because after what they did first was they got Bogdanovich and Justin James from the Sacramento Kings for DiVincenzo, Ilyasova, and DJ Wilson, but now this trade's not going to go through because it would have been a sign-in trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic, who will not accept.
Which that trade, I didn't know that DiVincenzo was in that trade. That trade makes no sense to me. Why would you trade? What are you getting?
What
is the benefit there?
Well, let's look at both their trades put together. And the other one, they got Drew Holiday. And so what I see is they're trying to create a formidable starting five, because that's your starting guard and a starting three. You put Giannis at the four. So they wanted Bogdanovich and Drew Holiday to shore up the starting lineup. And what you're doing is you got rid of very good bench contributors.
But now the reason why they were 60-20 the last 2 years is because they traded all away.
Well, they play very well as a unit, a full like 9 or 10 person unit. And DJ Wilson, I like what he projects to be able to do. Ilyasova has always been semi-productive for the past 10-ish years. And then their other trade, Drew Holiday, they give up Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, their first round pick this year, 2024 swap, 2025 unprotected, 2026 swap, and 2027 unprotected. So you're giving up a pick for 7 years from now.
I was just saying, imagine doing all
Brooklyn Nets style.
Yeah, and it didn't work for them.
Doing a 7-year deal. Like, that's insane.
The only way, it does work. If Giannis signs, if he doesn't sign, then they're screwed.
Well, if I'm the Bucks GM looking at this trade, the small, like, fail safe for me that I'm kind of happy about is that two of these picks are swaps. And what are the chances? If Giannis stays, the Bucks are better than the Pelicans, and they will get to keep those picks because they're better than the Pelicans, so they won't swap picks in that round or in that year. So I think that's kind of what, well, hey, we don't lose maybe all these picks is kind of what they're going to try to tell the fan base here. But I got to say, I think these two trades will make Giannis leave. He will not sign the Supermax this year, and next year he will opt out. And I think it's because what do you do at the trade deadline? If you have a season-ending injury and you need to add a piece, you have no first-round picks for the next 7 years almost. You can't. What are you going to do? Trade the rights to a swap with the Pelicans? Nobody's going to want that, because the Pelicans are not projected to, honestly, I don't think they're going to be that much better next year. I don't think they're getting the pieces that they need to.
It's in 2024, though. It's in 3 years.
Right, good point. And so what if
Brandon Ingram's a MVP and Zion might be an MVP by then.
Or one or two of them are forced to trade out of there, and the other one's soon gone. You know, there's, and it's this flip side of the Bucks, is that all of those are possibilities. And I just think that you're betting the farm to keep or to stay when she's saying, well, now we don't have furniture. You know, a bad analogy.
I
pulled it out of my butt, but you know what I mean.
Well, it goes back to the girlfriend thing where, yeah, it's clearly it's a toxic relationship and things aren't working, but you're doing everything you can to, I'll buy you this.
But then you're stuck with the loan for the car you bought.
I will make a 7-year commitment to you without you signing anything.
We're just going to sit down in South Beach and party it up.
I knew he was going to go Miami at one point in the honest talk.
No, I honestly, of anybody that I would want, Giannis would be second on my list of guys that I would want
Giannis?
On the
this
team
offseason
from
is
this
it
year.
Depot?
I'd rather have Bradley Beal than Giannis.
Well, I mean, Bradley Beal, is he on the market or is John Wall on the market? We don't even know, because it came out this week that John Wall found out and is surprised at the fact that it seems management is building around Beal and not him. So
that's obvious, but I think that I think that
there might be trouble in that backcourt.
But I don't think
paradise.
John Wall is worth Brad Beal. If they're not going to win with this team, is not good at all. This team is terrible. Brad Beal's scoring 40, and they're still losing by 25. Well,
they have absolutely nothing on offense or defense.
They're
in the
terrible.
Post. They can't do anything.
They need to trade Brad Beal and get everything they can, because that guy is worth a lot.
So do you just deal with John Wall's contract while
you have
you
to
rebuild?
Who's going to take John Wall for anything?
Oh, Russell Westbrook.
Is that really better, though?
I mean, depending on what picks get swapped, somebody's a winner, honestly. And if you think you can win out in that trade, they're both trying to get rid of those guys. So it comes down to what else is in the trade if that happens.
He ain't buying it. Brandon ain't buying it.
We'll see. We'll see. But the Rockets, here's what they are doing. They traded to get Trevor Ariza, and then they just flipped him to the Pistons today. They got pick 16.
I like that for Portland, though. I like Robert Covington a lot.
I think it's a very good pickup for them. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. A younger guy that's basically a younger version of Ariza.
Trevor Ariza for the Lakers when they were, 2010
right.
Trevor Ariza.
Exactly. 6'8", 3-and-D guy, doesn't need a lot of minutes, and he can do his job. So I think that's really going to help out Portland on the wings, which is their weak spot was between the center and the guards this year. So this should help them there. And finally, we have 76ers trade Al Horford in the 34th pick and a 2025 first rounder.
This was hours before
to
the
Oklahoma
draft.
City for Danny Green and Terrence Ferguson. This is a Doc Rivers mood. What do you think, Brandon?
I just don't understand it at all. I really don't. I understand it from a basketball.
Get shooters. Get rid of the overpaid backup center.
But they traded a better player. Al Horford is better than Danny Green.
Yes, objectively, yes.
Al Horford is better. And they're trading away, and they're the ones trading away the picks, the higher picks. Like, what is Philly doing? This doesn't make any sense to me.
Don't we say that every year, though? What is Philly doing?
Why are they trading away their draft picks when they're the one getting rid of the better person?
All right, we have a reach in the draft. I'm looking through our mocks of the lottery, and everybody missed on this one. ESPN, The Athletic, Ringer, Sports Illustrated, Yahoo, Bleacher Report. None of them had Jalen Smith even in the lottery. He goes to Phoenix with number 10. Oh, he's a baller.
I like him a lot.
You know, he's one of those guard guys where he's come up in the AAU.
Hey,
you know,
6'11", man.
Oh, is he?
Maryland.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. That's the guy from Maryland.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the high school to the G League. Jalen Green? That one.
I don't know. Jalen Smith's
where
the guy from Maryland, 6'11".
I haven't seen this.
Watch, bro. You gotta have the watch bombs.
Yep, you're right. It's in now. I
have it before they've even updated the website. You gotta get the watch bombs.
Well, I had it
Woj
on.
Bomb.
I had it on Bleacher Report for the live updates.
It's a Woj bomb.
He had it. You had it like, I don't know. We could probably show the time ourselves, but like 10 seconds, 20 seconds.
Well, I just keep refreshing my phone screen. And when
I've been doing the same thing.
I got Shams and I got Woj lined up. We're set for you guys. Don't even worry. So let's hit some of these rumors. We've talked Westbrook once out and Harden once out, but the first one that came out was Westbrook, and the Knicks and Charlotte were reportedly interesting. I think the Melo Ball pick takes Charlotte off the table here.
Really?
Charlotte's already got, now they have Ball, Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money in Terry Rozier, and he's their third best player.
Right. Yeah.
In the backcourt.
Well, they overpaid. The Celtics said, "Oh, with that contract, yeah, they let him. They let him get too much money." But Michael Jordan is not a good owner of a team. They make bad decisions. They overpay, or they draft
they have to
badly.
Though. They have to. You have to overpay in places like that.
But
that's the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's small
but that
market.
That's the problem.
But in a small market, you should be able to use the tactic of, hey, Michael Jordan's the owner. But it's been such a dysfunctional organization that doesn't even fly.
Yeah,
which is very sad.
I will say,
I really see Westbrook maybe going to the Knicks.
Really?
Put butts in the seats. They've always liked trading for a superstar and not worrying about the consequences. It would be horrible for their young guys.
I agree. I could see them, and it's mostly because of the LaMelo pick. I agree with you that I could see him ending at the Knicks. And you're totally right. The Knicks, they're not a well-run organization either. And so, yeah, they're going to get the superstar and try and win now, ooh, even though they really can't.
Right. We've talked about James Dolan is a top three worst owner in sports. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking bad owners, sorry, Michael, you're not the best at that. It's James Dolan, who took it from Donald Sterling, who was the worst. All right, but
I think he's still the worst.
And it's only
I think he is. Is he still the worst?
And it's yeah, only for it's still only the for the racism. It's only for the racism. That's the only reason he's worse than you.
But when the racism, I mean, but when the racism encompasses all decisions in your life to where you don't want your darker skin toned girlfriend that's 40 years younger than you sitting by Magic Johnson. Yeah, it's kind of rough, dude. It's kind of rough. We're kind of picking and choosing.
Isn't he dead?
Not yet, but knock on wood.
Fingers crossed.
Soon, buddy. All right, but
what? He's a piece of crap.
Apparently, Harden's been working out with KD this offseason, and he wants to go to the Nets to team up with his former teammate, but there's another all-star that might not be on the train for that.
Kyrie's causing drama?
Yeah, Kyrie's causing drama. Never heard of this before.
Sass. What?
How many? You know what Kyrie
said? I take it back. You know what Yana like in the drama? It's actually, he's the Andy Bernard, oh, I love the drama kind of guy.
He does, because he, without knowing it, if he does know it or not, he creates drama by saying things like Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni. Yeah, it's like, you know, there are coaches, but, you know, having us on the court is like, you know, KD can be a coach. I can be a coach. They add Harden. How many coaches do they have?
He just can't help himself. It's like he does word vomit so much. He just opens his mouth and stupid stuff
and
comes
he's
out.
He's very, very passive aggressive, and I feel like he would be super against losing his touches.
Oh, absolutely. Because
that's what this comes down to.
And that's the problem. If this were to happen, the player who should be getting the ball the most is going to be the one taking the third most shots, and that's KD.
Yeah.
KD is by far the best player on that team,
right? Oh, yeah.
No matter who's on the team.
And like in Golden State, he would take a back seat.
Yeah, and he was still the best player on that team, and it really is not close.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Steph Curry.
It's just kind of like, but I don't think he wants to do that. He doesn't want to do that, though. He I think that's why he chose Brooklyn. He wants his team.
I hope so.
He wants to build a team around him.
But
yeah.
Here's the problem with Kevin Durant's demeanor and his attitude and his relationships is that he's super, super, like, shelled, and he doesn't want the media in, and he's abrasive, but then he's super buddy-buddy with his, you know, AAU coming-up guys and the guys that he knows, and he texts, and so he makes a plan with Kyrie to, oh, man, wouldn't that be fun for us to play in Brooklyn? And then, oh, Harden, wouldn't that be cool? And so now he's caught in the love triangle of two players that are very similar in style.
Mm.
The size is different, the production is different, but they're both ball dominating guards, and I think Kevin Durant is a little catching himself between friends right now, and I want to see how this plays out.
And I think it comes with he knows how fragile Kyrie is. And
well, he's also very fragile.
Well, yeah, burner account, but he actually started the trend of us knowing what a burner account was. It was KD, wasn't it?
He was the first sports one.
Well, yeah, but. Yeah, I think that he knows how fragile Kyrie can be and how volatile that situation could be if he brought in Harden. So I think that's why, you know, he took the approach of, hey, let's chill out here for a second. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, that whole thing.
Number 11 pick, San Antonio Spurs take Devin Vassell.
He's an all-pro.
You think?
He will be. He got picked by the Spurs in the lottery. Guaranteed.
Well, you know, is De'Aaron Fox their most successful player since Tyreek Evans?
Sacramento, didn't you just say San Antonio?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I completely flipped on myself.
Man,
there.
These guys, I'm
yeah.
telling you.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm thinking in my head, oh, I thought you were being punny there.
No, I'm being serious, dead serious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The growth, you know, we see how San Antonio, most recently Deontay Murray is who they've
their produced. Last three lottery picks, Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard, Jontae Murray, all, you know, Tim Duncan is, you know, we know who that is, and Kawhi.
Right.
Jontae Murray was all defensive player as a 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's a stud.
His growth just exploded once Tony Parker left, and they really focused in on him. And it's exciting to see what San Antonio. Okay, Sacramento's the next pick. That's why that was in my head.
Oh.
Yes, but we'll see what they do with them.
San Antonio's the next pick. It's San Antonio, then Sacramento.
No.
Yeah, they just picked. That's what he just said, man.
I didn't hear you.
That's what I'm...
I was looking I was looking at the fact that James Harden turned down.
I don't even know who he said. Oh, Devin Vessel.
All right, back
the
to
the fact
Harden.
That James Harden turned down $100 million.
He would have been the NBA's first $50 million a year man.
No, wasn't Westbrook gonna be until he turned down his deal too?
Yeah, and so
Westbrook was gonna make $50 million this year too.
Yeah, so you see what they're doing here. But it would have been $50 million for the life of the contract, which is brand new for the NBA. We just saw that with Mahomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but to make this happen, I was seeing it would be Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, and picks. And then once again, just like Milwaukee, what's in the cupboard if you get rid of those guys for James Harden?
Yeah.
You better hope that you can keep starting five on the floor the whole game. And starting five, you're losing Jared Allen. What do you think?
Yeah,
DeAndre the artist formerly known as DeAndre Jordan.
Hey man, he just got to be a big guy. It's not like he's got to score. Look at the rest of the guys on the team. Like nobody else needs to score.
Just on defense, stand under the hoop. On offense, stand to the side, out of the way of the
half
hoop.
Court.
Yeah,
don't go past the 3-point line.
Set picks and then just back out my way.
Pick and pop to the half court line, please.
Also, if you're Houston,
pick and pop threat, real threat.
If you're Houston, you're like, we cannot let this get out that we offered him $100 million and he said no.
Yeah.
We cannot let that out because,
well,
I mean.
It seemed management was ready to run this back one more year. And
yeah.
And the players are saying no.
But, I mean, what does that say about you as a team and as an organization if a guy says, no, I'm good. I don't need $100 million. I don't want to play for you anymore. I'm done. I'm out, gone. And, you know, we could all level with that. There's definitely times when you work at a job and you're like, I don't want to be here. I don't care. I'll move on. But I don't know, man. $100 million is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
I would tough it out.
I mean, DeAndre Drummond picked up a $28.5 million option to play for Cleveland for another year. You know, money talks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it happens. All right. So, on my side of things, the Celtics and Hayward are waiting until tomorrow to decide on if he will be offered or decide to accept an offer of an extension, because apparently he's about ready to be done in Boston, and Danny Ainge will trade anybody. Danny Ainge told Red Auerbach to trade Larry Bird and Kevin McHale when he was a player. This guy, drop of a hat, he'll get rid of you if he thinks he can get picks and something worth it out of it. So the Hawks have reportedly had interest, and he would be an upgrade on the wing offensively from Torian Prince, so it would help them there. But I don't see what this is. What happens when the Celtics had a wealth of picks and now all those players are coming up? And what do you do with some of them? You had to drop Rozier. You got to pick your guys. And the guy in free agency, you had to let Horford go.
Yeah. Did you hear the rumor about why Hayward wants to go to Atlanta?
What is that?
He said he wanted to try and get the trade finalized and go to Atlanta so he could vote in the runoffs.
Oh, really?
Like, he legit wanted to play in Georgia.
I bet that was a joke.
Who knows? I don't know at this point.
This is daddy's always happy.
You know how, but
about.
You know how political the NBA is. So I'm just saying.
That's true. And you know, Jaylen Brown actually got arrested in Atlanta during a protest over the summer. So it's a very woke teammate he has.
Maybe he's getting his ears like, hey man, go to Atlanta.
And then
which
just
it says a lot though. I don't know if I would make an occupational change to vote in an election like that.
Yeah, well, you know, your occupation can change so quick. Just demand to trade back.
Yeah. All right, I voted. Send me back.
Ship me back. Yeah, no, Atlanta makes sure all their players have voted early mail in, and then they trade their entire roster to Boston for 1 week and then trade them all back.
All right, yeah, we did our duty.
All right, and just today, Klay Thompson suffers a lower leg injury. He missed all last season with an ACL tear.
I don't know if this is a hashtag, but I'm going to make it right now.
Oh, God.
Hashtag pray for Klay.
Damn it. Damn it. Tyrese Haliburton to the Kings. I'm so sorry. Oh, that poor, poor young stud.
How you feeling? That's your boy.
Oh, God.
That's your boy. You're going to be okay. You look sad.
I'm trying to find where on this page it could have been a worse situation for him to go into, because they love showcasing De'Aaron Fox, who I already mentioned. And around there, he could have gone to the Spurs, backed up Murray, and gotten good. He could have gone to the Pelicans and backed up Zoe and gotten, you know, some production there. And then right after that, the Celtics, the Suns were a few picks ago, learn under Chris Paul. Tyrese to the Kings is probably the worst situation that could have happened for him. Horrible. You hate
You hate to see it.
I mean, he could have gone undrafted. I feel like that's a worse situation.
And now New Orleans is trying to trade the 13th pick. Oh, Obi Toppin in tears. So excited to play for New York City.
Oh, that's beautiful. Obi Toppin, more like Obi Poppin.
Report.
We got to stop because we're going to...
There's a report that the
people
Kings...
People turned off the episode with
the Kings
puns.
Never imagined that they would get Tyrese Haliburton would be available at 12. He was very much higher on their draft board. So that's why they took him, because they see it as best, you know, take the best player on the board mentality.
You know how irrelevant the Kings are? I tend to forget that they even exist.
They should move.
That's
they
how
should move.
They need to... Yeah, get out of California, man.
Just go up to Seattle. There was a push for that a few years ago. Because I think the city was threatening the Kings with, like, eviction or something because of a new arena. There was some drama with that. But Tyrese Haliburton, enjoy your time in Sacramento. Try to get out of there as quick as you can.
Yeah, good luck. What if he's the start of something? What if he can build something there with Sacramento?
It's not going to happen. Sacramento. Even if they build something, they get the a playoff series rigged against them. This is what happens in the NBA. All right. So from
trying
that,
to have my picks from
we will come back to picks as they come in. But let's jump to our football coverage. Iowa, for the second week in a row, just physically dominates a Big Ten opponent. They beat Minnesota 35-7 last Friday, and I gotta say, just. Bad decision after bad decision by the Big Ten this year in scheduling, COVID, and all things. Because you put the Hawkeyes on a Friday night game during Iowa High School semifinal games at the UNI Dome. The one Friday night Big Ten game, everybody in the state has to choose between watching their kids and watching their team. And I think it was a very bad decision. The NFL, like, publicly says, oh, we don't put games on Friday because we respect the sanctity of high school football and how important it is to communities.
But the NFL can do whatever they want, so they don't need to move.
Hey.
The NFL owns 3 days of the week.
I don't know. I can't remember the last time I watched a full Monday night game. Might have been that Rams-Chiefs game.
Yeah, that's true. And, to be fair, I didn't really watch last week's Thursday night game.
Okay,
but
back
anyway,
to Iowa-Minnesota.
Back to the Iowa-Minnesota game. I'll fully admit this, because, Brandon, I'll give you the floor and talk about your team.
Yeah, let's start with the Fleck fan here.
Would like to call the police.
Hoodwinked, bamboozled,
exactly.
Led astray.
It is the meme. I could not believe, and I didn't want to be the person that believed because of their weak schedule last year, they reached the levels that they did. They beat Auburn in a bowl game. I didn't want to believe that it was because of their schedule, but it is because of their schedule. And they got housed by a terrible, and I mean terrible, a peewee football team is better than the Michigan Wolverines, and they got destroyed by them, so I've been robbed.
I told you this week one.
Light him up, Brandon.
I told you. Michigan was terrible, and they killed Minnesota. And you were like, nah, Michigan's really good. They just beat Minnesota. I literally told you this week one when I was going to make them my fraud of the week after their win in week one.
Wow. Wow. Our Big Ten expert
to losing
with the knowledge.
Then calling Michigan State the Michigan State upset because I knew Michigan. Because Michigan is nothing.
Bro, Michigan State's going to go 1-7 just to troll Michigan.
Good. I hope they do.
So anyway, let's talk about Iowa. How'd you feel?
Man, there's not a lot to say. They kick the crap out of them again. I mean,
second week in a row not allowing a
84-14 in the last two games.
Yeah,
like there's not a lot to say.
7 points allowed in each win,
and they shouldn't. And the only reason that Minnesota even scored this week is because of the four timeout. Like,
go off, King.
Who calls a timeout with 19 seconds left, down 35-0?
PJ Fleck, got to row that boat. Also, shout out to Iowa's. Also. Well, not just Iowa, but I'm just saying, if you are PJ Fleck, you gotta give up on that catchphrase, because everybody is gonna make fun of you now, and they already have, but it's gotten worse now. So Iowa put boat road on their social media.
That's great.
It happens every time they lose. People are just rubbing it in their face.
You gotta back it up if you want to walk the walk.
It's true.
It's like the turnover chain. It's only cool if you get picks.
But. I will say this about Iowa. I wouldn't get too overzealous having wins, back-to-back wins, 84-14, because when you did play decent football teams, you did lose. You lost to Purdue, who's not a bad football team, and you lost to Northwestern, who's currently 4-0. So I wouldn't get two, and your big wins are against a bad Michigan State team and a bad Minnesota team. I wouldn't get too hyped about it just yet.
When did I get hyped?
I don't know. You looked pretty happy just now.
I said there's not a lot to talk about when you win 84-14
in back-to-back weeks.
That's what I said.
That's a boat that's being rowed.
I'm just trolling him because the Nebraska Cornhuskers finally won a football game. It took us 357 days, but we did it.
It took you against the worst Penn State team in the history of Pennsylvania football.
And they almost blew it.
Yeah, I know. I was watching score by score being like, oh, my God, Penn State's almost going to come back. I was so excited for Nebraska to just torpedo that.
I'm sitting there watching them. I'm like, they're going to lose. I just think the whole time that second half, I'm like, Nebraska's going to lose this game. They're going to lose. 3 points in the second half. Three.
Yeah, you got to close it out. All gas, no brakes. You got to close it
out.
All right.
I even called Scott Frost a fraud at one point. But, hey, look, defense got two big fourth down stops. But I'm not going to be, much like I was trying to jokingly troll you about beating a bad team, I'm not going to get that hype about beating a very bad Penn State team right now.
The backups for Penn State.
Backup quarterback.
Penn State, their whole team didn't play this year.
I mean,
we got to remember this. Penn State's entire team opted out, just like the Patriots did.
I'm not going to get too hype about that, but I was just going to shoehorn that in there because you never write it on the rundowns. But Nebraska, 357 days, but we finally got a win.
There you go.
Do you want it to be newsworthy that you got to win?
It is newsworthy.
Is that what you want?
Hey, man.
It is.
Hey, I'm just saying, Nebraska has a very solid chance to be 500 against Iowa because they play a very bad Illinois team this week. So, there you go. Something to be happy about,
hey,
I guess.
Now you're not so mad about that Wisconsin game getting canceled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you'll be 500.
If they could be 500 playing probably a 3-2, they're playing Penn State, right? A 3-2 Iowa team, I'll take that. I'll take it.
There you go.
Throughout the record books.
Thank you, Wisconsin.
Hey, Wisconsin looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
It's easy to look good against Illinois and Michigan.
Dude, you still got to play the game.
I'm not discrediting that they're good. They are a good football team.
All right. And Iowa State's on a bye this week. They were before
Farmageddon.
Which I'm actually going to talk about a little later, a little more. Tease.
Might be the one of the biggest implications to the game because, Big 12 positioning.
Well, the Big 12 championship will be decided by Bedlam this weekend. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma.
Because Iowa State is number one. Oklahoma State's number two. And then is it Oklahoma?
So I can't believe I'm cheering for the Sooners this week because Iowa State beat Oklahoma and lost to Oklahoma State.
Yep.
So I'm cheering for the Sooners. To our NFL roundup, shortened this week. We're not going to do the in-depth every game coverage like we usually do because we're bringing you all the awesome NBA stuff tonight. But first up, Drew Brees, multiple rib fractures, collapsed lung, out until playoffs. Jameis has been named the starter with a sprinkling of Taysom Hill.
I don't like this, personally.
You don't like what? That he got injured?
As an analyst, I don't like. Well, no, I don't like that Drew Brees got hurt. I joked about him over the offseason with his comments, but I do think overall he is a good guy. And despite the fact that he plays for an evil, evil organization, the New Orleans Aints,
the most maligned and bullied organization in the NFL.
The New Orleans Aints.
Sean Payton is going to get another year suspension. They said they're going to get repercussions
anyway,
for COVID stuff.
They should. Also, the Raiders have 10 players on the COVID list.
Good. That's because they blatantly don't follow
the
rules.
They really don't care.
They don't care. Vegas.
And yet they're the only stadium that's not allowing fans all season.
Vegas, baby.
The other reason I don't like this, why are you going to put Jameis Crableg Squinston over Taysom Hill, who you've clearly shown that you've been favorable to and you like having him in his packages?
I don't think they've ever been favorable
it's
as
because
a pocket
Taysom
passer
Hill is
Taysom
not their
Hill.
Quarterback.
Yeah, he's not. He's a utility.
He's the gadget guy.
He's a wildcat.
If you play Taysom Hill as a quarterback, then he can't play receiver.
I would love to make this future prop right now. Taysom Hill never throws more than 20 passes in a single NFL game. Brandon, would you take that bet?
Yeah.
Me too.
Taysom Hill isn't okay.
He's not a starting NFL quarterback.
You could say that Jameis is a better thrower than him, but all around athlete, Taysom Hill is better than Jameis.
That's why he plays receiver and not quarterback.
That's why he.
I hate this whole Tebow crap.
He's
of only
Blake
putting
Bell
him in
the NFL.
I'm so sick of the Blake Bell, the Tim Tebow crap where you only put him in certain packages and you can't trust the guy. It's ridiculous. If he's as good as an athlete as we believe he is and we've seen, why can't he be trusted with an offense?
No one said he can't be trusted with an offense. They want him to play receiver.
Well, why don't they give Jarvis Landry his own offense?
But they don't need him at receiver. They've got Michael Thomas. They're loaded at receiver.
Haven't you seen Jarvis Landry's passer rating? Give him an offense. This is your argument.
This is literally your argument.
I say this as an analyst. As a Bucs fan, play him. Play Jameis Winston. Because I'm calling it right now. I'm putting it up here. The Falcons are going to beat the Aints because you got Jameis Winston as your quarterback.
No, this is a humble Jameis. This is a cerebral Jameis.
Jameis has eyeballs.
Jameis can now read stop signs. This is a Jameis.
He can see the numbers on the jerseys.
This is a Jameis that can now read the license plate on the car in front of him. So excited to tell you that.
He's also got a visor now,
too. It's a new world for Jameis. He's also wearing literally.
He's wearing a clear visor now. So
he now just doesn't see in primary colors.
He actually knows the difference between the two jerseys.
He's saying, oh, what are those guys? I've never seen them before. Jameis, they're called linebackers. And now he can see them.
See, he didn't even know. He didn't even see half of his interceptions last year.
That's because all of interceptions are to spying linebackers that are staring him down that he can't see because they're on the logo on the field.
You don't need to remind me. I lived through it.
It was a beautiful time. It was literally, he had a 30-30 year. It was literally the best of times.
And you're
going to
tell me that
times.
Guy should start over Taysom Hill?
Yes.
Oh, stupid. Because
he can throw 30 touchdowns in a year.
This is why Sean Payton will never win a Super Bowl.
Much better passer.
This is why.
He's won a Super Bowl.
I said again, if you guys would wait for me to talk, you could hear me say again.
I don't know. Brandon's MVP is just going to be showcased week after week now with Kamara. We'll get to that. Another big injury, Foles. They should have dug a hole before throwing him to the ground that hard. Man. Good Lord. Poor guy.
Bears, man.
You know what? At least it happened to the guy with the biggest amount of faith in the NFL. he'll be back. But now we're back to Trubisky.
Good for them.
You know what's funny is...
they might win a game now.
Oh, Brandon, I'd love to make you smile right here. Do you know who the Bears worked out today and signed to their practice squad? DeShone Kizer.
Wait, why wasn't Trubisky in at the end of the game?
Because he wasn't on the roster. He wasn't active last week.
Yeah, that is how dysfunctional they are.
God,
right
now. You talk about the disrespect. Look, Trubisky,
hurt. What do you mean?
How can you be hurt if you haven't? Oh my God, can you be hurt when you don't even play?
He still practices.
You're not gonna get hit in practice. You're an NFL quarterback. Nobody's going to touch you in practice.
I don't even know if he's wearing the red jersey.
he's doing tackles.
Nagy thinks he needs to be toughened up.
Come on, Brandon.
So the Bears are officially frauds. Are they even frauds? We know they're bad. Well, no, we just know they're bad.
It's amazing to see the differences in that Monday night game in particular. When you see a Vikings team that's won three straight, that is surging, where I said, you guys might, I took took what Tyler said with a grain of salt because he is a Vikings fan. But you guys thought about it too. The Vikings are surging, and they're finally. And it took them, I don't know, going 1-5 to them
diesel
finally.
Diesel engine, they're revving up,
figuring it out. They get it. They split it with the Packers. I think they're going to sweep the Bears. They're most likely going to sweep the Lions, so they could possibly work their ways into the playoffs. And it was really interesting to see a dynamic of one team that's surging and looking really good, and then there's Nick Foles,
the Bears
who can't. Whose only touchdown was a kickoff return to start the second half. Also, stop wearing those orange jerseys. It bites you every time.
Yeah, the orange jerseys are no good. Back to the NBA. Boston Celtics, number 14, take Aaron Nesmith. New Orleans Pelicans take Kyra Lewis, Alabama point guard. And then at number 15, I was very interested in where this guy went. Number 15, the Orlando Magic select Cole Anthony, son of broadcaster Greg Anthony, former All-American, who 2 years ago, Cole Anthony was a prospective number one for this draft. And he was, if not number one, one of the top three players of his recruiting class when committed to UNC.
He's number two. Coming out of high school.
He was number two. Thank you, Brandon. So, disappointed?
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt in North Carolina. Was terrible. I think. I don't think he played great, but right. he wasn't as bad as he just didn't play.
But
last
with the
year.
Magic, he's in a position to do some damage and do what he wants to do right away. Because if you want a guard that's going to be able to rise and shoot off the dribble, it's not Markelle Fultz. It's Cole Anthony. So we'll see what the Magic decide to do with their point guard position moving forward.
But there's some picks to update you for right now. As I'm literally just got a message from another Celtics fan saying this pick is BS.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel?
Yeah, you know, it's okay. Nobody fell to them that I thought that they really should look at besides, you know, Cole Anthony. But the point guard's position is kind of taken care of with Smart and Kemba. So I'm okay with it. It is what it is in this year's NBA draft for the Celtics. They have more picks, though, but... Back to NFL. Titans lose to the Colts. Titans are officially pretenders, and the Colts the Colts are 28-9 against the Titans since they moved from Houston.
I'm not ready to throw in the towel on Tennessee.
Oh,
now.
Dude, come on. They can't get it done when it counts, especially on defense.
Their defense is pretty bad.
I was surprised.
I expected a lot more from their defense this year.
That was a close game for a half. And that's why I didn't watch on Thursday, because it kind of blew up in the second half.
Another dominant win for the Buccaneers as well. Ronald Jones, 98-yard touchdown run. And did you see him looking up at the big screen, the high kick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That game was a little scary, because it was tied at halftime. It was tied at 17. But then you saw the Buccaneers, and this is what they should have been doing for a long time. They were opening up the playbook. They were getting a little bit more creative. Now, is it maybe because they have AB now? So they've got Godwin and Evans and AB as well as Gronk and Cameron Brait. I don't know. Maybe that might be the case. Maybe it's I think the reason, one of the big reasons they lost to the Saints, like we talked about last week, was the fact that they were scared. They were not playing. They got behind and they didn't play their game. And I think this game was the opposite, where they did get behind it sometimes, but they stuck to the plan. They worked things out. I think Byron and Brady need to communicate better, and I think that was a good sign. Most points they've scored all season, 46, so looking pretty good there. They have to, there's no more excuses. They have, and they're going to drop the game to the Chiefs, most likely. I'm going to say that's probably fair to say that the Chiefs are going to win.
What?
I don't know. If the Saints can do that, imagine what the Chiefs can do. But also, you know, we'll see. I don't know how I feel about the Chiefs anymore. But they'll still lose at least one more game. So at best case scenario, they're 12-4. I predicted they'd be 11-5. I still see that being the possibility. I think they're going to end up 11-5 and stick in that fifth seed spot. I'd say fifth seed.
We'll see. Packers struggled to win at home
against
Jacksonville.
Yeah, what was this about? What was that?
Windy game, cold game. It played into...
It should have been a Packers game, man.
It played into a more even game.
Yeah, man, it was like a 40-mile-an-hour winds in that game.
Yeah.
But you played like that against the Florida team. Florida teams don't play well in the cold. Come on.
Well, no, if you had to watch the first quarter of that game, you could...
I did not watch that game.
It was very
frustrating for offenses to move. You could tell that the wind really was affecting the ball, and I've never seen anything quite like it.
Right.
Like, Rodgers was missing 10-yard throws by 5 yards. Like, the ball, it was weird.
Was it like the Ravens-Patriots game where, like, they couldn't see anything and their wind was crazy?
No, well, I mean, it wasn't raining, but it wasn't downpouring like that game, but it was 25 to 40-mile-an-hour winds the whole game. Like, I mean, and they couldn't run the ball. Like, that was the problem, is they couldn't run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens. I mean, you know, this like we talked about. This is a week-by-week league.
But the Packers have... The theme of the Packers year has been play to the level of your opponent this season, and we need to see something better. They had a dominant win against the 49ers JV squad, but besides that, they've been...
Man, this is really the first dud against a really... I mean, it depends on your definition of Minnesota and what you really think Minnesota is.
You're also playing a different Minnesota team than week one, too, yeah.
Very
sure.
Different.
Good point.
The defense is a lot better than it was in week one.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Giants 27-17 over the Eagles. Philadelphia, guys, Philadelphia is 3-5-1 winning the division.
Man, watch out for New York.
Yeah, New York's getting hot.
I told you guys, I told you after that Bucks game. I saw it firsthand. Joe Judge is the right pick. And the Giants, I would say, are of the bad teams, have the most upside. For sure, if Danny Dimes can protect the football, look what they can do. They beat the Eagles by 10 points.
Hey, man, I called that one.
Danny Dimes? Oh, no, you did pick that one. By the way, this week for primetime picks was atrocious.
Oh, we're horrible.
We all went 2-3, every single one of us. went 2-3. And I only got my second win on a lucky 59-yard field goal from the Lions. That's the only way I got a second win. It was unreal.
All right, with pick 16, the Detroit Pistons take center Isaiah Stewart. More NBA for you.
How you feel about it?
I feel like nobody cares about Detroit basketball.
Oh!
All right. Moving on.
Who really cares about Detroit in general?
Here's something we all cared about. You'll see DeAndre Hopkins.
Bro.
Over three guys.
Three guys.
Micah Hyde. So sorry. Oh, my
Dude,
goodness.
I was watching it live, and that was...
Great escape.
Incredible.
Great throw by Murray. Murray also made the play happen, you know. But then DeAndre Hopkins was just...
He heard the noise that he wasn't the best receiver in the league, and he had to shut everybody up real quick.
Oh, my gosh.
He went on bye, and then he said, "Yo, remember me?
Yeah.
Watch this."
Wow.
I remember saying after the Cardinals beat the Seahawks, I remember saying, I think it's time to crown Kyler here. I think Kyler is going to be the guy. I think he is going to lead. He's going to overtake Russ. And this game, for me, solidified.
I don't think you can claim the Cardinals right
this,
now.
This
Brandon's
really go back to the Wolves.
For all the for all the shorties out there, all the short men out there like me, 5'9", Kyler Murray had to look at the Jumbotron to hit Hopkins. I'm not making that up. He said that. He said I had to look at the Jumbotron to see him in the end zone. That guy is going to win this division. The Cardinals are the best team in the West. You know why? Because they're a complete team. The Seahawks are not, and I'll get to them in a second. I think Kyler might win the MVP this year, and I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I'm dead serious that Kyler Murray is going to win the MVP.
Brandon, you're the Cardinals guy here. Is that a step too far?
How did he become the Cardinals guy and I became the Chargers
guy? He's been the Cardinals guy. All season he's been the Cardinals guy.
You can't be a Cardinals guy, they're in the NFC.
Yeah, you can.
Chargers in the AFC.
Whatever.
No, man. I don't think that they're going to win the West. I think it'll be... I didn't like L.A. Rams, but I don't like Seattle's defense at all. So I don't think... If Seattle relies too much on Russ, and I don't think that that's going to work this year.
Right.
So I think we're seeing that. I mean, what are they? They've lost, what, three in a row?
Yeah, they just lost to the Rams 23-16. Yeah,
the Rams, if the Rams can do anything on offense, I like the Rams. I think their defense is by far the best in the West with Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I mean, two best players on any defensive team in that division.
With Bosa out, yes.
I'm pulling a full Shannon Sharp. I'm just like, mm-mm. I don't agree.
I agree with you, Brandon, that I see the Rams as the most complete
team. I didn't
team in
like
the
Rams before, but the way that Seattle has played the last five games.
The Rams aren't faltering. They progress. You know, they lost at the Dolphins, but they're back on track when they need to be.
Right.
All right. Besides that.
Also, by the way, you're thinking of Tyler. Tyler was the Cardinals guy. Tyler was high on the Cardinals before the season started. I'm just saying.
All right. Patriots.
And I followed his lead.
Patriots beat the Ravens in Foxborough rain. And Lamar Jackson, he either does it all or nothing, huh?
I don't necessarily blame Lamar for this. This was Belichick weather.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I don't necessarily want to put all of that on Lamar. I think that's just... By the way, good job, Cam. Finally threw another touchdown pass to your boy, Sexy Rexy Burkhead. Go Huskers. Go
Alexei Pokashevsky to the Minnesota Timberwolves with pick 17. A guy that was projected to go anywhere between 5 and 20. Crazy.
Crazy. All right. I still can't believe you guys don't see Kyler winning the MVP.
Because there's this guy named Patrick Mahomes
playing
in the league.
Oh, but when I said Patrick Mahomes in the midseason awards, you're like, oh, no, it's going to be Russ.
It's not going to be Russ after the interception.
Not after a second.
You know what? Fraud of the week, you two. That's
we'll get there
just,
very soon.
You're out here saying it's not going to be Patrick Mahomes anymore. It's going to be Kyler Murray.
It's going to be Kyler Murray.
All right. Close it up here, guys. We got Dolphins keep winning fifth straight, 29-21 over the Chargers. The Bears lose 19-13 on Monday night. They gave up the game late after being in control for a good part of it. But the headline, Cordarrelle Patterson ties the NFL record with his eighth kick return for touchdown, throws up the deuce. Talented player.
Copyright infringement. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
But it's still, I looked it up because I was like, NFL record eight?
So I looked it up.
Over Devin Hester?
Devin Hester.
Devin Hester's was punt returns, not kick
mostly,
returns.
Yeah. Listen to this crazy stat. Devin Hester only had either 6 or 7 kickoff returns for touchdowns.
All of it was punt.
15 punts returned for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. 15.
Who's the nobody returns punts anymore?
Nobody
like.
Even nobody. Nobody returns
because it always gets a flag now. It's always blocking in the back all the time. Mm-hmm. Or clipping or something.
Yeah, but that was the NFL week, so let's jump into
that. That is an unbreakable record.
Yeah.
It really is.
Nobody's gonna return that many punts again.
He tied who's the Cleveland receiver or the Cleveland defensive back who also had the record for kickoff returns.
Oh, Cribbs. No, it was a receiver. Cribbs. Yeah, Cribbs. He was a receiver,
Josh
but yeah.
Cribbs, mm-hmm. Thank you. Who was if for a season or two, there was an argument.
Well,
is
I mean,
he as fast as CJ2K? You know, that kind of had some traction.
I mean,
there.
When you play for the Browns and people kick off to you because they're scoring all the time, it's easy to get that
you're
many
right.
touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah. The Browns don't get a lot of punt returns. They get the kick returns.
Yeah, a lot of kick returns. Yeah.
All right, that was the NFL roundup for the week. Let's jump into some frauds. Now, you guys are going to keep it NFL here. Who's going to start for me?
I'll start.
Jake.
I was lied to. Just kidding. No, I'm not doing that again.
Retread.
No, I keep going with the Kyler train. I keep saying it, and I keep believing it, that he's going to be the guy. I really do think that the Cardinals are going to win the West. Their only real competition to me at this point is the Rams, because the Seattle Seahawks are frauds. And the reason I say they are frauds
wow.
is Jamal Adams. Are all those wristbands for how many touchdowns get scored on you? Is that why you're wearing all of them on your arm? Is that your kind of badge of honor? Because you're trash. I'm sorry. You're trash. Somehow the Jets won the trade in that. I don't know how they did, but they did. And the whole Seattle team all relies on the back of number 3. And if he throws multiple interceptions, they lose. Every time he has thrown multiple interceptions, they have not won a game this season. They put everything on him. And if you cover Metcalf, you've won. You've won. And you know what? You're frauds. You're frauds. What are you doing in a draft? What do you even bother looking at anybody worth drafting other than Metcalf? Because that's the only good draft pick you've had in how many years?
Since Wilson.
Since Wilson. For once, Paul's right as well. Put Pete Carroll in there, too.
Do it. Dallas Mavericks select
what?
Josh Green.
What? Defend the Seahawks. I'd love to hear your defense of the Seahawks.
I'm not defending the Seahawks. Their defense is terrible. Pete Carroll has nothing to do with that, though.
Jamal Adams isn't trash. He's just not living up to expectations. Because I can't commit to the idea that Jamal Adams is trash. It's just, how did the Jets win that trade is what gets me.
Who do they win with? You can't win the trade when you get nothing. You're still the Jets. It doesn't matter what you got.
That is very true. Do we really think they're going to do it? I think they're going to go 0-16.
I think they will, too.
Their offense is too terrible.
If they win a game, I'm going to fraud them.
Wow. Wow. Historically reverse fraud. Brandon, what do you got? Fraud?
My fraud of the week. It's really the fraud of the month.
Fraud of the year, probably.
Fraud of the year. Yeah. Chicago Bears. I mean, I've been talking about it for a while. Their offense is just so terrible.
Nagy gave up play calling duties, and I thought he still had them. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
They were so bad.
You wouldn't have known.
No.
Unless they told you.
Their only touchdown was the kick return.
They can't score. They can't run the ball. Their offensive line is terrible. They can't run the ball. Luckily, they have a defense that is one of the best in the last 10 years to keep them close in these games. I don't know how they won 5 games. I don't know that they'll win more than 2 games the rest of the year.
Well, they won 5 games because Brady can't count.
Yeah. that
Chicago Bears offense, Matt Nagy, like, if he's not going to call plays anymore, this guy's supposed to be some offensive quarterback, you know, genius. Mm-hmm. He's not even calling plays anymore.
Right.
What's he still doing there?
Packing his bags.
He better be.
And that's what he's doing. Updating his resume is what he's doing. Remember we used to do update your resume?
Oh, yeah. I should bring that one
back.
That
was fun. We should do that towards the end of the year. I'm going to keep it same city, different sports. Chicago baseball. It's Chicago baseball managers and front office personnel. Fraudulent behavior this week. We're gonna start on the south side with Tony La Russa. How old is he, Brandon?
Oh, 70. I don't
70
know. 60
something, 80
70
something.
Yeah, he's older.
Announced as the Chicago White Sox new manager. Day afterwards, it comes out that he got a DUI this year. He's working around, and not the first. And apparently, his interaction with the officer was very embarrassing. And then Theo Epstein. Up and dips from the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, man.
What's going on there? If you lose the best, is he the best GM of 21st century sports? He got completely rebuilt the Red Sox, and then he rebuilt the Cubs, two franchises that were historically cursed. Let's put him in Cleveland, see if he's for real. Give him to the Browns. Put up or shut up.
Not even the same sport.
No, you know what? We should get him working under Jordan in Charlotte. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
That's a miracle situation there.
How do you not do a check to be like, hey, oh yeah, this guy got a DUI. I mean,
Chicago baseball, figure out what you're doing, and it shouldn't be an almost 80-year-old manager for a very, you know, up and coming team full of prospects.
The players keep him young.
Yeah, we'll see. No, the booze keeps him young.
Hey, one of the best managers of all time, though.
You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. I'm agreeing that it was a very shocking hire, but...
Yeah, nobody wants to hire Jimmy Johnson. He's on his boat in the Florida Keys. That's kind of what this felt
Tony
like
La Russa
to me.
Has been retired so long that his picture is retired on the Cardinals' wall.
Oh.
His picture's on the wall as in like their Hall of Fame. He's been retired and he's been gone for over 10 years.
Right.
Maybe he won the World Series. He might have won the World Series in 11, so maybe he's been gone only 9 years, but still. The guy's on the wall. Wall of Fame already.
Let him go out to pasture. Come on. All right. You hate to see it. Segment time. I'll keep it here. So, Iowa State plays Kansas State in Farmageddon this weekend, and they announced today they'll be wearing the All Blacks against the K-State Wildcats. And you hate to see it. A great, sleek, new uniform combo being overused.
I was gonna say, are they gonna change their colors to black here?
Yeah,
soon?
it's
you
pipe pretty
down Iowa.
I don't.
That is literally our colors.
It's not because we wear black and white.
Black and
not
white,
black and with gold.
Even more.
I'm not saying you're turning into Iowa. I'm saying, are you gonna make black your new color?
That's the problem here. Is it? I like it with the white helmet and the white pants. I like it with the all black. But
it's too much.
Can we save that for prime time or nationally televised games?
Not a 3 p.m. game?
No, not Farmageddon needs to be purple versus crimson, or purple and cardinal. I need purple and cardinal and silver and gold in my Farmageddon. That's
silver
the way it's supposed
and
to be.
Gold.
Like,
no, I agree. I think it's dumb. Because you can definitely tell that they're playing into the superstition. Because they are undefeated in the all-black alts. And so they're like, oh, well, you know, we gotta do this again.
Then wear them against Texas.
Kansas.
That's how you get yourself in the Big 12 championship, is you wear the all black. If you're superstitious about it, you save the all blacks for Texas, and you roll the JV K-State COVID team.
Paul, they wore red, and they wore their original colors last year, and it didn't work. So why not? The all blacks beat Oklahoma. All blacks.
But you're oversaturating the all blacks.
I agree.
That's the problem
here. I agree.
You hate to see it. Take it away.
You hate to see it.
Take it away.
You want to go, Brandon?
Yeah, sure. Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, Josh Allen.
You do hate to see this.
Josh Allen does everything right. Leads his team down the field. Throws a perfect pass to Stephon Diggs
he
in the corner.
He can't play safety, to quote Giselle.
Throws a perfect pass.
He would have intercepted that. He's a big guy.
Should, right? Yeah, probably would have. Wins the game, and then this Megatron play happens.
Yeah, freak play.
With 20 seconds left in the game.
A Jordan commercial happened.
Like,
yeah, a Just Do It commercial happened in front of your face.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
We're big Josh Allen fans on this podcast.
It was a great
and
drive.
Pro
and
Josh
a perfect
Allen.
Perfect throw.
Pro Kyler Murray as well.
Yeah, and you hate to see
Hate to see
it.
Also, I will say, the best meme that came out of that was D-Hop did not catch over 3 Bills. Technically, he caught over 4 Bills if you count Bill O'Brien.
Ooh.
Thanks, NFL Twitter.
Yeah. It was so funny how Texans fans used this Hail Mary catch as another final way to just take a dump on the memory of Bill O'Brien.
The dagger was already in there, and they just twisted a little bit more.
Yeah, to themselves.
Yeah.
Twisted it in their own back.
Fraud of the year, Bill O'Brien.
Gotta be. All right, Jake.
So this one's kind of a combo, but for multiple reasons. But you hate to see it. Michigan, at home, 49-11 11. And then Penn State, just as bad. Against not a good Nebraska team. Terrible first half. Made a comeback in the second half. But you hate to see it. Two historically good programs look so completely lost on a football team. And I don't necessarily think that James Franklin is a bad coach. I don't necessarily think that Harbaugh is a terrible coach. But you can clearly tell that Michigan, the players, have given up on Harbaugh. And you're kind of starting to see that with James Franklin as well. And you hate to see it.
Let's look at some film and see how much this matches. The body language of Harbaugh's players is almost like the year that they benched Kaepernick, and it was just, dude, you got to go because everybody's annoyed with you.
Look, yeah, and you know what this looks like to me? This looks like 2017 Nebraska, where they completely gave up on Mike Riley, and they were blown out game after game after game. This looks like the players don't want to play for him anymore, and they've completely given up on the season. And then, you know, as a whole, the Big Ten looks bad as a whole.
So many people said the Big 12 looked bad after a few weeks of beating up on itself. This is what happens.
No. The difference is the Big 12, you know, actually has leadership.
Indiana.
That's the difference.
Why does the Big 10 look bad? Just because Michigan sucks. They always suck. What are you talking about?
The only good team.
Penn State and
who else?
Minnesota.
There's three teams in the top 10.
Yeah, Indiana, who's gonna get knocked out.
Who should have lost to Penn State.
Well, hold on. Upset special. I think Indiana is going to beat Ohio State. But
you can keep that one. I'll
magic
play that pick all day.
Indiana's
long.
Crashing the playoff.
You're taking money line.
No, I'm kidding. No,
I'm joking.
But yeah, Indiana, Ohio State,
it's a 20 point
and Wisconsin.
Spread.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's real.
Maryland's playing above expectations in the few games that we've seen them play. But other than that, who we got?
How many top 15 teams do you need? Dang.
Nebraska doesn't look great. But that's not
so.
That's not new. Iowa looks okay,
understatement of the past two decades.
Iowa looks good, looks decent, but Michigan State looks like trash.
They're already trash.
Northwestern looks pretty serviceable.
They're always trap sneaky good.
Traps.
They just went 8-1 last year in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
or no, 2 years ago. My bad.
Yeah, they were
terrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're up and down, but you know, there's their up year. I'm just saying the Big Ten is not looking great so far. But
you hate to see it.
You still have three teams ranked higher than any Big 12 team.
Yeah. Well, that's because everybody is used to the narrative of the Big 12 round robin. So once we start beating each other, they rank us lower. I'm sticking with that.
Paul, you are on the verge of... And good,
Brandon, I appreciate your lack of a response there.
Paul, Iowa State is going to be... If Iowa State's
number 17.
Can win out... They're going to be the poster child for the Big 12. They're going to be the representative. And you're going to say that they should be in above.
I'll be honest with you right now. If Iowa State wins out, they still do not, and wins the Big 12 championship, they still do not deserve to be in the Final Four.
No.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
The Final Four is probably going to be the Final Four that you see right now. It's probably going to be
Notre Dame.
Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Yeah, Jake, Notre Dame.
I think it depends. It depends.
Yeah, Notre Dame will get the brakes blown off them like they do every time they play in a big bowl.
It depends on if Notre Dame beats Clemson again.
I still think they might get in with winning or with losing to Clemson in the ACC championship.
I agree. If Clemson loses again to Notre Dame,
won't
be
in. Right, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be out.
They won't make it.
But then who goes in?
Georgia or something.
Georgia? Florida. I can see Florida.
Like,
yeah.
There are teams that would beat a two-loss Clemson.
It doesn't matter because Indiana's going to...
Especially a non-conference champion, two losses.
We're
going
to get two teams to crash the college football playoff because it's 2020 and the rules don't matter. Indiana's going to crash it, and then Cincinnati's going to crash it as a group of five.
This could be the year for a team like Cincinnati or BYU.
Also, Cincinnati knows they have to because they were up big. They were up like 4 or 5 touchdowns, and they ran a fake punt to score another touchdown because they know they have to do that.
Cincinnati's allowing, 10 points a game, 11 points a game?
And they have to keep running up the score because that's the only way they're going to get noticed, is consistently just beating down these teams.
They're pretty good.
I like Cincinnati.
Three-way trade between Pistons, Clippers, and Nets. Luke Kennard, a bunch of picks.
Bunch of picks.
Landry Shamet.
Landry Shamet,
we don't have the Nets pick yet?
We did not. No, because they traded out.
All right.
So with the 19th pick, Detroit takes Sadiq Bey. That's where we're at. Brandon's Heat, number 20 on the clock.
On the clock. So, yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad for the Big Ten. I really do.
Okay, let's jump into the final segments of Fab Five. Rough week last week across the picks and the Fab
yeah,
Five.
It was a bad week.
You know what we should do? Who was the team that buried the game ball? Was that Jacksonville? Or was it the Giants? Was it the Giants that they, like, on Monday, they had a ceremony and buried the game ball to forget about it and move on after a bad loss? I swear to God, an NFL team did that within the past 2 years.
Oh, I have
no idea.
And it was so motivational. I can't wait to use that tactic with people. Like, just bury it. It's gone. It's dead. It's done. All right, bury last week. Moving on. I got six for you this week, and we're heavy with some unders. I mean, with the underdogs. Dogs this week. First off, though, Vikings -8 against Dallas. It's in the Metrodome. It's in U.S. Bank Stadium, excuse me. Vikings are going to win by 8. They are going to. They have found how to win. They're going to use Dalvin Cook and then throw it over the top over that horrible secondary to Thielen. Vikings -8. Now let's hit some dogs. Thursday night, Cardinals +3 at Seattle. I love this spread. I can't believe it's 3 points. Seattle favorite. Take the Cardinals.
Oh!
+3 in Seattle.
I like that pick.
Yes. Packers +2.5 at Indianapolis. Indianapolis looks good. They look strong. Defense, offensive line looks good. Take the Packers +2.5 at Indianapolis in a dome. Rodgers is going to look very different than
Lazard
this week.
Lazard is back.
Lazard,
finally.
But I don't think he'll be playing. If they didn't activate him this week, they would have lost him for the year, according to IR rules.
He's been practicing for the last three weeks, though.
Right, like he traveled. He traveled to San Francisco.
I think he's back.
He's active.
I think he's back.
I don't think he'll play. I think he's active.
I think he's back.
Lazard is active.
Can we just agree to disagree?
We can agree that he's active.
He is active.
Activated this week.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep it with another NFC North dog. Lions +3 at Carolina. Matt Stafford, DeAndre Swift looking good. The defense can't do anything, but I believe Brandon. Is CMC still out?
I have no idea.
Lions
on
+3.
That. I honestly don't.
Teddy Bridgewater looked like he was limping. Lions +3.
I don't. Is the Teddy? Panthers is probably don't is know. Teddy playing? I think he might be questionable.
Okay, Lions +3.
Also, I want to say that I almost picked the Panthers for primetime picks in that, but I said no because Detroit is going to keep winning.
Cardiac cats.
Because here's why they're going to keep winning. Because all the fans want them to get rid of Patricia, but Patricia's going to find a way to keep winning, so they're stuck with him.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
The Dan Quinn model?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty
yes.
much.
Hey, you go 5-11, show some promise, get a free agent in here, the right speech, and get 2 years.
I have a very good friend of mine who was legitimately pissed that the Lions won because he's like, why can't we get rid of this man?
See, that's a franchise that's used to losing, though. Where
yeah,
like,
yeah.
More, like, I never want the Packers to lose more so McCarthy would be gone. You know?
Right, exactly, yeah.
That's just a different franchise model. Final two games, I'm giving you 6 this week. Another underdog, Bengals, +1.5 at the Washington football team. Joe Mixon should be playing in this game. I like the progression by the Bengals offense. They've been playing some closer games with people. I like them to beat Washington in Washington. Finally, Browns -2 versus the Eagles. We are now with the Baker Mayfield cycle of beating an inferior opponent and being cocky about it. Take the Browns -2 against the Eagles.
By the way, bad beat of the year. Chubb, what are you doing?
Oh, dude.
What are you doing?
I wasn't on that one.
The 1 yard line.
Being smart for his team is what he's doing. Primetime picks.
Except for, didn't they give up a touchdown after that?
No. They ran the clock out because it was 10-7, and they won 10-7.
So being up 10 is not better.
That's what I was thinking. Why not score and go up 10?
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I agree.
They still won.
Well, that was Paul's Fab Five. And let's jump into the primetime picks. First off, Thursday night, Cardinals at Seahawks. You know what? I liked them as a dog. I like them outright. Cardinals 2-win in Seattle. Book it.
I mean, I would be a fraud if I didn't say that my fraud was going to lose, so I got the Cardinals, baby.
Yeah, you're high on the Cardinals and frauding the Seahawks. You have no choice here.
I'm jumped on the hating on Pete Carroll bandwagon.
It's fun. It's fun. There's room.
There's room. Be different. Be different. Take the Seahawks. Be wrong. I don't care.
This is a podcast that shows respect to the Seahawks, so it's very difficult here for us to be like, ooh.
I don't have the standings to pull up right now. I will when this goes up.
Yes.
But we all went 2-3 last week because all three of the primetime games we missed.
I missed all. You guys got the Monday night one. I missed all of the primetime.
Yeah, you missed all of them.
Thank God New York won.
We got the Vikings one. I got the Lions on that miraculous field goal. And then you got the Bucks. So there you go.
Yeah.
Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, run it.
Cardinals. Chalk it.
All right, Brandon, what do you think about Sunday night Chiefs at Raiders? Raiders beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead earlier this year.
Yeah, give me the Chiefs. Too good.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs as well. This one is not a repeat.
Well, especially because the Raiders have 10 players on the COVID list.
Raiders.
I want to give it to the Raiders because Travis Kelce's trash talk is a little suspect. Did you see what he said?
Is he sus?
He's being a little sus. Did you see what he said? He says, like, well, some of us think this game is like a Super Bowl. Like, talking about the Raiders. And I'm like, bruh, they beat you already. Like, win your division.
I think that's what he's saying, is that we're treating it like it's Super Bowl because we need to win.
He could have been, but I took it as...
It's a divisional game.
I took it as the Raiders beat them the first time because it was their Super Bowl, is the kind of way that I took it. But you're right. It could be taken the other way. I'm just saying, be careful.
Oh, you're saying he was throwing shade at the other team's players.
I was thinking that he was throwing shade at the Raiders.
Well, you know, that is frustrating. You get every team's best punch every week.
Yeah,
you know,
you're the defending champion. Yeah,
come for the king, you best not miss. You know,
do you say that? You said on Twitter. You say that a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. You come for the king
out loud.
I have been known to say that out loud.
Wonder what his home life is like. Anyway, moving on.
You come for the king. All right, Monday
does
night.
Does Courtney actually listen to this? I hope not.
She doesn't watch The Wire with me. That's for sure. Monday night.
Oh, Jay, my God, you too?
You're Buccaneer. That's what that's from.
I know, but Tyler never shuts up about The Wire.
It's a top five show of all time.
I have to watch this freaking show. Anyway, we're moving on.
The Wire was the beginning of the dominance of...
But it's not Breaking Bad. We're moving on.
No, it started the dominance of, like, pay for subscription TV series. Like, it was
premium cable.
It was on before Sopranos, you know, and the Wire and Sopranos led us to Game of Thrones.
My
and
parents would never
Detective
let me watch that.
And all these other things. Yeah,
I need to watch season 3 of that.
Watch The Wire, dude. The Wire is
shut up.
Like, whoa. Yeah, and
because of my
The Wire will get more talk than the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm gonna have to start a freaking Wire podcast with you and Tyler. And you know what I mean by that? I mean, you guys have the mics. I'll leave the freaking room.
All right, hit us with Monday night Rams Buccaneers. I think you're trying to avoid this pick.
I've been trying to move on for like 10 minutes. I don't care about The Wire. you know,
I've never watched The Wire.
I think this is a good matchup, but I think. I hate to constantly pick my team. I hate having them be actually in primetime as much as they are. But I like the Buccaneers in this one, but I do think it's going to be a very close game. And I think the edge for the Buccaneers could be Ronald Jones. If Ronald Jones goes over 100 yards and plays well like he has in spurts throughout the season, I think the Bucs win. So I'm going to take the Bucs. Shocker, I know. Brandon,
I think this is a bad matchup for Tampa Bay. I like the Rams. I like the Rams.
I think I could go either way.
I'm taking the Rams as well. They're on a roll. They're not going to go to Florida to lose twice this year. I like the Rams in this game. All right.
I'm not impressed they beat a bad Seattle team.
Wild cards.
I have to commit to the joke.
I'm going to start with my wild card. I'm hard on the Lions this week. This is a game where it's, the Lions won again. Can they beat people? Give me the Lions +3 Carolina as my dog.
My dog. I am going to take the Vikings. I really like what they're doing. Ability to keep stacking W's, eating W's, as a former quarterback of my team would say. I like where they're going. I think they have a good matchup here with a not very good Dallas team. Even off a bye week, I like the Vikings. Brandon's thinking about it.
Give me the Bengals. I'll take the Bengals.
Ooh, okay. That's a good pick. I like that. And then who knows what Tyler picks, right? Are we going to go back to me since you started last?
Yeah, you can.
Upset. Falcons beat the Aints.
Wow. That's a heavy one. That's a 7-point spread.
The reason I picked them is because Jameis is their quarterback. The reason I picked the Falcons.
You got to stay with the brand.
And you know what? If it means hating on the Saints for a week, another week, why not? Am I aware that it's risky business, Tom Cruise? I get that. But I like it. I'm taking them. Falcons over the Aints.
Brandon.
Ooh. I don't know, man. Wait, did I just pick an upset? I think I did.
I took an upset as my wild card.
I think I did.
Which I should have saved. But all right, whatever.
I'm switching. That's my upset. Cincinnati's my upset. Give me Baltimore. Give me Baltimore over Tennessee.
Okay. We'll flip it.
Yeah, I'm going double dogs then. Packers plus 2.5 at Indy to win the game.
Wow. I almost picked the Colts on that one, honestly.
Oh, please. I wish you would.
The Colts are consistently flying under our radar. The Colts are a much better team than I think we're giving them credit for.
But they can only go as far as Philip Rivers can, like, throw his limp body.
Where's his Life Alert sponsorship, people?
All right. Well, we started with it. Let's end it with it. A little more NBA draft talk. Brandon, your Heat, number 20. Select Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, wasn't that guy from Memphis who was, mm-hmm. like,
yep.
Did he end up being the best player on the team because Wiseman was mm-hmm. gone?
Yep.
I mean, I don't
wing
know.
Guy.
I don't know nothing about him, but.
Wing player. But to me, the later first round sleeper steal just happened. Pick 21, Philadelphia 76ers. Take somebody who perfectly fits what they need. Tyrese Maxey, combo guard out of Kentucky. Stronger guy to play point guard, or he can play off the ball. I really like his potential. I've been high on him for a few months now. Tyrese Maxey to the Sixers. I really like that pick. I think that, you know, anybody in the past few picks, even up to the Celtics, Magic, Detroit, all these teams really could use a guy like, you can always use a guy that can create off his own dribble off the bench.
Yeah.
So that's somebody who I'm going to be very interested to see how they do this year. Well, if there's any more crazy trades within the next week, which I hope there will be, we will bring them to you, huh?
I would say that Heat pick was precious.
Oh.
I had to do it.
Oh.
I had to do it.
Wow. Playing with house money.
I bet he hates that, dude.
They're playing with house
money. Probably very annoying.
Yeah, Heat are just kind of saying, well, we're going to run it back, so whatever we add, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the...
Especially with the how young those guys are, you know?
Right. Well, who's not under contract in Miami?
Dragic, I think. This is his last year, I should say. Dragic is his last year.
Okay. He's a free agent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to... Somebody else. Nunn was a rookie last year, so he's probably got... Right. I guess I don't know. He was undrafted, so I don't know what it's...
Well, yeah, if it's undrafted, so. you don't know, because if you get a first rounder, you get like 3 or 4 years, depending
on
your spot.
Hero will be there for next year, and then the options.
Well, yeah.
The two options.
Right. He was a lottery pick?
Yep.
So you have 2 years and then two single-year options.
Yep, just like Bam, who is a year past that.
Okay. So things are looking up for the Heat, as they were. You know, some of these picks don't agree with as much. We'll have a full board next week. We can go over some notables.
Non sequitur. Another Jake Williams free idea. NFL. 2021, the helmet rule changes, right? You can start. The idea is you could wear different colored helmets again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like that the deal was you couldn't change the shell color of your helmet. For some reason, they made that a rule.
Is that why the Packers have not been wearing the brown alternate?
That's why the Bucks don't do the cream.
Hopefully.
I mean, let's keep this rule. Let's keep this rule.
That's also why the Bucks don't do like the creamsicles anymore, because they can't wear white helmets.
Oh.
So in 2021, that rule is supposed to change. Free idea, NFL. I saw this on Twitter. Somebody else posted it and made a mock of it.
Neon Seahawks helmets.
That's what I was just thinking.
Great idea. Great idea. I was going to take it one further. You know those Color Rush uniforms that the Bengals have, the all whites?
Yes.
Give it a white helmet, white tiger alternate.
Oh, that's sleek. That's like a reverse Iowa State uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake Williams, free idea.
I like that. I like that. Let's end it on that. Best idea of the night, Jake Williams. Let's give the Bengals an all white tiger helmet. Well, with the stripes, obviously. Yeah. Got to get that albino.
Yeah, White Tiger.
White Tiger. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for going over the NBA draft and everything with me tonight. You find us on Twitter at Loud Sports Pod, Facebook Loud Sports Podcast, however you get your podcast, find us there on Instagram, Loud Sports Podcast.
For merch.
Merch.
tpublic.com/user/loudsports.
Loud Sports. You could probably just Google Loud Sports.
Shut up.
Loud Sports TeePublic. You can Google it.
I gave
you find it there.
I gave you everything.
Now you have all the resources. It's up to you to utilize them. But for us, for Brandon Plecker and Jake Williams, I'm Paul Ribidoux. This was the Loud Sports Podcast.